The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Where has the time gone? Third and final hour now of the Jimmy Sengenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. And only now are we getting to the big news of the week, which was the raid of former President Donald J. Trump's residence at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Now, this was a stunning development on Monday. It's unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever happened to a former president in the history of this country, which I do think is not immaterial to whether or not this should have been done, this action should have been taken. Then a couple of days ago, Merrick Garland, the attorney general, finally comes out and talks about this warrant, which was then subsequently released publicly. Specifically, he said he was going to file in court to release the warrant, to get permission to do so. And he didn't really say very much, but he couched it as even application of the law.
Faithful adherence to the rule of law is the bedrock principle of the Justice Department and of our democracy. Upholding the rule of law means applying the law evenly, without fear or favor. Under my watch, that is precisely what the Justice Department is doing. All Americans are entitled to the even-handed application of the law, to due process of the law, and to the presumption of innocence.
Now, there wasn't much more said than that by the attorney general, but he did make a couple of encapsulating comments.
Federal law, longstanding department rules, and our ethical obligations prevent me from providing further details as to the basis of the search at this time. There are, however, certain points I want you to know. First, I personally approve the decision to seek a search warrant in this matter. Second, the department does not take such a decision lightly.
Personally, I don't think that Garland provided enough information for the public. I tend to agree with former federal prosecutor Andrew McCarthy and what he had to say about what the DOJ could have elaborated on.
Yeah, I think it would be very easy, Sandra, for the attorney general. I understand he's not going to want to confirm details of the investigation and tell us, like, the underlying information. But they could give us a timeline where they said, you know, look, we tried to be reasonable with these people. First, we asked them for the documents back. We went back down there to talk to them about it. Then we gave them a grand jury subpoena. They still wouldn't give it to us. And finally, we had no choice because this is national security information. We had to get it, so we had to do a warrant. Mm. How hard would it be if they had that kind of an explanation? How hard would it be to give it?
A very valid question, I think, from Andrew McCarthy. Now, it looks like what this is about is the purported mishandling of classified documents or violations of the Presidential Records Act. We've also heard floated the prospect of the Espionage Act being at issue here. And the Wall Street Journal editorialized that if that is true, then the raid looks like the prosecutorial overkill and a bad mistake. Document disputes are typically settled in negotiation, and that is how Mr. Trump's disagreement with the National Archives had been proceeding. He'd already returned 15 boxes of documents, but the National Archives wants to know if the former president retained classified materials he shouldn't have. This is what appears to have triggered the FBI search, but it's far from clear why this couldn't have been settled cooperatively or at most with a subpoena. And now the talk is that it may have related to nuclear documents in some way. What should we make of this? And how about the Republican reaction here, which has been very defensive of President Trump? Let's go to syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, who has a rather, shall we say, hard-hitting column today in the Denver Beast. And he rejoins us here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Good morning, Ruben. How are you?
Jimmy, good to be with you again. Thank you.
It's good to have you, as always, especially because I know your take is going to ruffle some feathers. But before we get to the Republican reaction and your views on that, what is your take on the actions of the Justice Department, the FBI, and Merrick Garland, the Attorney General?
So I'm going to do something here that conservatives have done for all the 35 years I've been writing opinion pieces, hosting radio shows and the like. I'm going to do what Republicans usually do. I'm going to defer to law enforcement. I'm not going to second guess law enforcement. I'm going to trust that the people involved here, the cops on the front lines, the FBI agents, did not go rogue, that, in fact, they convinced, as appears to be the case, a federal magistrate to issue this warrant, that whether or not you like the outcome or not, the prosecutors did not do this willy-nilly. That this was all above board because something unusual has happened here in terms of the it looks like the keeping of confidential document or top secret documents that should have been left at the White House. What I find interesting about this is there's a lot we don't know. It's not our job to know. We are supposed to judge the actions, not the motives. We don't know all about the motives. But if this was done improperly, there will be severe consequences legally and politically, and the Democrats, the current administration, Merrick Garland and others will pay those prices, pay that price. So it'll all work out, but what I've been struck by and what I wrote my piece about in the Daily Beast is the fact that, again, in these 30 years I've been writing about this stuff, I remember a time when the Republican Party was the party of law and order, the party of pro-law enforcement. It didn't second-guess things like police raids. Jimmy, one of the funniest things I saw in the first 24 hours of the raid was a quote from an African-American gentleman, professor, intellectual, who said, Breonna Taylor be saying, you know, white folks' raids go different. And this is interesting because in the time that I've covered, again, this issue, I don't often hear white Republicans, conservatives going at law enforcement this aggressively. This is new for me.
So a couple of thoughts here just off the top. This is about a former president of the United States. This isn't any average citizen. And that is actually important because you're setting a big precedent and you're talking about a political opponent of the president of the United States. Moreover, when you're looking at the implementation of or the enforcement of any sort of Records Act, yes, I mean, you do have to consider Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, in those right. instances where they have classified materials, et cetera, and they haven't been targeted in any way like this. So given those things, doesn't that at least make this a little bit different, Ruben?
6 years of covering Donald Trump has taught me, and it should have taught you, we passed unprecedented a long time ago. The entire Donald Trump presidency was unprecedented, the way he conducts himself. The fact there's a report out this morning that he's already using this to raise money, a fundraising effort, right? These are never usual times with Donald Trump. So I'm not troubled so much by the unprecedented part of it. Should the Justice Department have investigated, prosecuted, come down much harder on Hillary Clinton for deleting her emails? Absolutely, 100% yes. You mentioned before about Merrick Garland and certainly what Andrew McCarthy talked about. He didn't want to become like James Comey. James Comey famously, like it or not, stepped out of the realm of FBI director and essentially tried to second guess what a prosecutor would do, called a press conference right before the end of a presidential election and took heat from both sides. Mm. Right. And so Merrick Garland is saying to himself, I'm sure that's not what I want.
Let me make a little distinction here, Ruben, because James Comey was the FBI director. He is not the end all and be all in those decisions. It is more appropriate for Merrick Garland to make this decision than the FBI director. So it was good that he came out and said, I signed off. I did this as compared to the FBI director. But this is a guy who's in a very different position as opposed to the FBI director taking that. So I don't necessarily agree with that comparison.
Here's one's the attorney general and one's the FBI director. They have different jobs. But the idea that a law enforcement officer from the Justice Department would step forward before the cameras and basically try this in the press, I was content with what Merrick Garland said. Yeah, would I like to have heard more? Sure, he did say, correct, one thing Andrew McCarthy said, he did come forward and say in his remarks, I read them carefully, that we tried more less intrusive manner of getting these documents. And so I think it's a balancing act. I think there's some people who love this being in front of the camera and some people who don't. And Comey loved it, and Merrick Garland doesn't like it. So I get it. I'm not going to hold that against him.
Here's my viewpoint is that I think that if there is something significant here, that it goes beyond the just the storing of documents, that, you know, you had some higher level of an alleged crime, say that he was trying to pass top secret material to the Saudis for some reason, yeah. You know, something along those lines. I can get it. But if it's just the storage of documents, then I think there's going to be real hell to pay, because that goes beyond the kind of enforcement that you should be using, especially on the president of the United States, particularly Rubin. And I get that there are a variety of different reasons, some maybe of Trump's own doing, for the distrust that we have in our government right now. But the fact of the matter is that we do have significant distrust across the board. This is a tinderbox political moment on both sides of the political spectrum, if you will. And I think that should actually play into some of the sensitivities here. And I tend to agree with the Wall Street Journal's conclusion here that that you need to tread more carefully on this.
Lawyers and cops do not believe that.
There are other lawyers and cops that have said differently, but go on, Ruben.
Lawyers and cops typically should not. You will not find them saying that in deciding whether to bring a criminal action, we should weigh the political consequences, the fact that we're a tinderbox, how divided we are, and what's going to happen in the next election. That is what columnists like me and radio hosts like you are free to do. But, I mean, typically, if you believe that nobody's above the law, if you believe ultimately that maybe James Comey should have come forward, even if he was going to torpedo Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and make an enemy of her and all the Democrats in the country, maybe the argument goes, well, that shouldn't have stopped him. And it didn't stop him. He did come forward, right? So it's very difficult for me, as someone who's Rubin in the center and who really hates both political parties and finds them very similar, it's very difficult for me to remember a time when Republicans did not have a problem with James Comey coming forward days before an election to torpedo, to do something that essentially torpedoed Hillary Clinton's chances to be president. Conservative Republicans were fine with that, but they're not fine with this.
Okay, so
we have to take into account the political tinderbox that exists in this country.
A couple of thoughts on that. Again, we're talking with syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. Check out his column today as well in the Daily Beast. Number one, when we look at what happened in 2016 vis-a-vis Hillary's emails, that's not the same as when you are going ahead with a search warrant like this, going through a residence, you've had all these documents, you've had these different exchanges, and then suddenly you are executing an unprecedented and historic raid of a former president of the United States. I think that actually is a distinction. But here's something else. I want to play a quick clip. Kash Patel, who's a former DOD chief of staff, made note about the declassification of documents by President Trump already. I want to get your reaction to this clip.
So are you saying that these particular documents that were at Mar-a-Lago were all declassified in that December-January period of what year?
I'm saying, the end of 2020 and early 2021, before the president left, I'm saying whole sets of documents were. You know, I don't know what was shipped down there because I wasn't the GSA people moving those documents. Only they do. They packed them. They admitted that they packed them, which is their job, and transported them there and stored them somewhere. So the GSA can provide a lot more clarity to us on how and what was moved, and the GSA could have worked with the Department of Justice. That would have been my move as a national security prosecutor who brought terrorism cases all the time. This is an extreme national security measure taken for what seems to be a wholly unnecessary national security approach.
So if it's true that the documents were declassified by President Trump and that these fall under that, that to me would be a clear instance of prosecutorial overreach, would it not?
Yeah, here's the problem I have with that argument. I'm glad you played that clip. We are taught, we are told, and we have been told for years by people, by Republicans, by people who work for Donald Trump themselves, people like Jeff Sessions, people like John Kelly, people like most recently, John Bolton, that the president of the United States, the former president, was not a stickler for following the rules. I heard an interview with Bolton just yesterday, him saying that, that he thought Trump had been careless with documents in the past. And in order for people to believe this argument now that these documents in question were, quote, declassified by the president, we have to believe that a president who normally was very sloppy, who didn't think the rules applied to him, according to the people who worked for him, not according to Senate Democrats or House Democrats, according to Republicans who worked for him, all of a sudden at that moment had a moment of clarity and decided, I really have to be careful here. Okay? It stretches the imagination that somehow that was possible.
But one of the documents that was recovered, according to the search warrant report, included Roger Stone's clemency. So how does that have to do with national security, Ruben?
And again, that's one document.
Right? That's an example among others.
Right, exactly. And we don't know what the other examples are. It's a parlor game. You and I can play, columnists and radio hosts do this. It's fine. We don't know what's in the stack, a pile of documents. We don't know beyond the Roger Stone document
whether there
are other documents that were classified. That's why we either defer to law enforcement and prosecutors and judges, a judge who signed off on this, right? We either say that this was not willy-nilly, this was done by the book, they must have had something, or we just say, listen, if this turns out to be false and everybody acted improperly and the FBI agents went rogue and the judge went rogue. Garland went rogue, then they all have to pay the price for it. But we don't know that yet.
So here's a question for you, Ruben Navarrete, syndicated columnist. Why did they get the warrant on Friday the 5th and not execute it until Monday the 8th? Because you hear folks that will say they get a warrant and they execute on that right away. They don't wait 3 days.
Yeah, totally. I've heard that too. And again, this is again something where we're outside of the realm. It's a bit like asking why doctors who could clear you for surgery on a Friday may have waited till Monday. I don't know because I'm not a doctor clearing somebody for surgery. I don't know because I'm not an FBI agent, a judge. We'd have to see what the agent said about that. I get the argument though, Jimmy, because they're saying if this in fact was urgent, why would they wait?
Yes.
One quick thing about being unprecedented. Another unprecedented thing happened this week, and nobody on conservative radio is talking about it. The fact that the president of the United States invoked the Fifth Amendment over 400 times in a civil deposition, I think will ultimately prove more politically damaging than the FBI raid. The FBI raid, as you know, is helping him with conservatives, but there are any number of people who are ready to run for president against Donald Trump who will use the fact that he invoked the Fifth Amendment over 400 times. You'll be hearing it from Mike Pompeo, from Tom Cotton, from...
A separate civil matter from anything to do with the raid.
Absolutely.
That was a separate topic.
Totally different, but it goes to the point of unprecedented. See, I've been covering Donald Trump for 6 years, as you have, and we passed unprecedented, like... a couple miles back.
Sure. So let me address that specific point. We just got a few minutes left with our guest, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. It's one thing to say, okay, this guy was unprecedented in many respects in the past, but that alone is not sufficient justification for any sort of sudden unprecedented action. I mean, here's the thing for me. Was this really this national security issue? It's now a year and a half plus since Biden has been in the White House. It's not like this was some sudden revelation. They haven't tracked these documents and so forth very closely. Was it that urgent to the point that you had to conduct this raid, couldn't do it any sort of alternatives, and upset the apple cart and go in this unprecedented direction that now could be used by Republicans in the future?
Well, it's going to be used by both sides ultimately, and it's already being used by both sides to raise money, right? Here's the point. We have a disagreement, he said, she said, going on between sources who say that, and it's been reported, that the documents in question may have contained nuclear material, secrets material, is the best way to put it. Donald Trump says that's not true. We have to believe whether we believe Donald Trump. We have to think about that. I don't believe Donald Trump. I wouldn't believe him if he told me water was wet. Okay. I wouldn't believe Bill Clinton if Bill Clinton told me water was wet. Both have lied to me and lied to all of us. And so to that end, if it's true that there was some sensitivity to this, there was a concern ultimately about foreign actors being able to access that material. There's even a conversation now, Jimmy, about whether the former president might have been trying to sell that material. Anybody who says that's crazy, this would never happen, you haven't been paying attention for the last 6 years.
So, Ruben, if it is, though, that hasn't happened, but if it is that it hasn't happened, we don't know. Maybe it has. But if it is that it hasn't happened, and this is a violation of the Presidential Records Act, is it then incumbent upon the FBI and the DOJ? Does it not make sense for them to do the same thing in getting documents back from Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton?
Yes, I have no problem with that. I said that initially, that if you're telling me as a journalist, do I want more documents released than not released? The answer is yes. If you're telling me as someone who's in the political center that
returned, I mean returned to the White House, returned to the National Archives.
Returned to the National Archives, absolutely, and it shouldn't be in their possession. Ultimately, if you're asking somebody who's in the political center who bangs on both parties, who writes something critical to Democrats and Joe Biden 1 minute, Republicans the next, then yeah, I want both parties treated fairly and equally, and that's not going to happen.
So potentially, could you see potentially accepting prosecution of Obama and Clinton for holding documents like this?
We're a long way from there because we're not even talking seriously about prosecution of Donald Trump.
Of course, it's hypothetical, but you're talking about how you're critical of both parties, which I will attest over the many years that I have had conversations with you on and off air. It's true.
Listen, you and my friend, you my friend and Google can both attest to that. Okay. Anybody
yes.
Googles my name, they'll see me hammering away at both sides. And ultimately, I remember very clearly calling out for more investigations, the emails, criticizing Hillary Clinton at length, writing about it. I'm just struck by the fact that our politics are so broken that I can't get conservative Republicans who used to believe in things like deferring to authorities when they were going after Democrats to now go along with the idea that civil liberties also apply to everybody and criminal justice. Hey, Ruben, here's a question.
What if this is a new awakening for Republicans, as we have actually seen in the last couple of years?
Well, I did hear this week that it was a bunch of Republicans that rushed out to join the ACLU.
Uh-huh.
So that's awesome.
So what if, though, because I hear this a lot more among rank and file everyday conservatives who are not politicians.
Right.
They're increasingly suspect of a law enforcement in certain ways. What if there is a genuine shift that is going on? Because you've also seen the opposite happen on the left, by the way, where they suddenly accept everything of the law enforcement folks.
Exactly.
At least
exactly.
At the FBI level.
Exactly. And as a conservative, you can see the hypocrisy on their side. You should be able to see it on your own side. And that's exactly right.
But I'm wondering if on the right, because I hear it from everyday people who are conservatives, if there is a bit of an awakening that is genuine among some folks, and it's because spurred on by President Trump and how he's been mistreated in some ways.
That's not happening. And let me parse this out a little bit, just a bit of nuance. What conservative and Republicans have been saying for a long time is they're critical of the federal government, of federal law enforcement, okay? They're critical of ATF. And they have been for many years because they love the Second Amendment. And I think so false sometimes. They also are critical of the FBI, but they're not critical of the local cops who raided the house that killed, ended up killing Breonna Taylor. They're not typically critical of racial profiling against minorities. As you well know, I'm the son of a cop. My dad was on the job for 37 years. I speak to cops two or three times a year in groups. And I never, ever see or hear from my cop audiences a huge concern that somehow they're worried about the conservatives. They're not worried about the conservatives at the local level. At the local level, on January 6th, we have reports of conservative MAGA supporters taking over and overpowering D.C. Metro Police and saying, let's kill him with their own gun. Let's kill him with his own gun. Okay? And that's been said by the cops who were there, who's had that said to them. So I don't believe all of a sudden that the MAGA supporters and conservatives are going to be treating the FBI and the local cops.
So let me ask you.
Way.
I get that point.
Hard on the FBI, but continue to be very lenient on local cops who are locking up other
people. Sure. One quick final question because we got to run. This coming in from a texter about the FBI, the Justice Department. With the Russia hoax, what about that? James Comey, he used that dossier. I mean, we saw these things lying to a judge to get that the FISA warrant. So with Carter Page and what have you. So how about that and the potential for egregious abuse in that regard, which we did see vis-a-vis Russia that they were going after for 2+ years, Donald Trump and his administration over that. Isn't that proof that the FBI can be used for partisan political purposes like that?
Absolutely. And the thing is, you have different leadership at the FBI. Like every federal agency, you have the lifers down at the bottom who serve different
administrations. But that's not enough to set to just suddenly say, oh, well, okay, we have different leadership now, so that means that they're definitely not going after Trump for political reasons. I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying that there is more to it than you can just dismiss and say, oh, well, we should just trust them, and that they're not going after him for political purposes.
I want to trust. Hell, here, it's very simple. I want to say that we should trust them now if conservatives used to trust them 10 minutes ago when they were going after Democrats. I want both parties, and this is really, nobody's going to get this, but I want both political parties to play by the same rules, you know, and not apply situational ethics as they tend to do. Both political parties do this.
Well, and I'll tell you my standard.
I agree. If you look at the record, I agree, and I've written columns to criticize Andrew McCabe, the political folks who ran the Justice Department, who ran the FBI. You remember Peter Stroke, you remember the FBI agent who said they need an insurance policy in case Trump was elected. I spoke out about all that. I was hosting a radio show in liberal Los Angeles on a liberal radio station for a week, and I spoke out about that, and I was fired the week later. Okay.
Well, let me just say that as far as a raid like this, I think the standard needs to be, is this detrimental to our future or current national security interests when you're doing something of this level? That's more the standard that I would take here. We will find out, of course, whether or not they've got the goods in that regard. Well, I'm just telling you, that's the standard.
I get it. And my standard is that the entire Trump presidency and so many things related to it was, in fact, detrimental to this country.
Sure. But I'm saying that in terms of my standard for whether, because you were saying, oh, you know, conservatives changing their lines. I'm letting you know that's my standard in this regard. But Ruben, we got to leave it there. Always interesting, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you.
Syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete joining us here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. If you want, might get your blood boiling just a little bit, especially if you're a strong Trump supporter. Check out his piece in the Daily Beast today. The GOP cares about Trump's civil liberties and no one else's. We'll take calls, look at some texts on the other side as we continue on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. Just because you can don't mean you should. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Best damn bumper music known to man, just about 9 years running. This is Joe Bonamassa, who, by the way, I saw Monday night at Red Rocks. It was a beautiful night. They filmed a DVD, had a screen they brought down that was just freaking cool what they did with video, backdrop, and all that. And they did play this very tune, Just Because You Can Don't Mean You Should, which is one of my most favorite tunes by Joe Bonamassa. And, of course, his keyboard player is now, and has been for several years, really, Reese Winans, formerly of Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble. And Reese absolutely smoked it on the keyboards on Monday night. Good to be with you after that fascinating, riveting exchange with Ruben Navarrete. I know from the text it boiled some blood, but sometimes you gotta hear and engage with the other arguments. And I will say, in fairness to Ruben, that he is somebody who does criticize Republicans and Democrats when he feels that it is necessary. That does not mean that he is right here. And the reason why I chose that bumper, just because you can don't mean you should, is because it applies here. Just because you can do a raid like this on a former president doesn't mean you should. And to me, maybe there is cause. I have my significant doubts, and I think that this is a dangerous action on the part of the FBI and the Justice Department. But the clear standard to me, as I mentioned to Ruben, is it detrimental to our current or future national security interests? Was it urgent to the point that you had no choice but to conduct the raid and couldn't do any alternatives? And after all this time that you did it, can this be justified in that regard? Because just talking about taking documents, I mean, that ain't good enough, especially when we look at Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, James Comey. Real quick clip, and then we'll get to Terry, who's been patiently waiting. Cash Patel, former chief of staff at the DOD, noted this about different treatment.
He invited whoever was there in June or whatever date we're talking about to the
Trump did
to look and have whatever they want and come back, and I'm paraphrasing, to see whatever they needed. So if that was the case, which it seems to be because the DOJ has not controverted that statement, then they could have come back because there's a voluntary cooperation. I don't know. I don't have any details about that media reporting in terms of that incident.
Yeah.
But again, it seems to be, you know, there's a different way to treat people regarding classified information if your name's Hillary Clinton or James Comey versus if your name is Donald Trump. And it's just not the even-handed way to do it. It's not how we used to do it at the Department of Justice.
At the Department of Justice. Yeah. Well said. Kash Patel on the Fox News Channel. Let's go to Terry in Englewood. Terry, good morning. Welcome to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show.
Morning, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. What's on your mind?
Interesting interview with Rubin. I think that Rubin was being disingenuous. Firstly, I'm a conservative. But I think that why the conservatives, because he is right, conservatives typically follow the rule of law and believe in the process of law.
Yes.
And I think that we would like to follow the rule of law and we would like to believe in it as long as the rule of law is applied equally. And it has not been applied equally at all in the last 5 years and somewhat before that. But in the last 5 years, it has been abrasive. It has been malicious. And it has been orchestrated literally by our DOJ and by the FBI to stack the deck against conservatives, starting with very simple things such as the IRS, which is a different agency, I realize, stacking the deck against the Tea Party, who was basically investigated and gone after saying that they were not a 501(c), and compare that to BLM,
yes,
where they raise all this money and then they spend it on personal investments, and they never even contribute. And you've got the NAACP criticizing their own 501(c) under BLM. Nothing happens. That's the first example. Then let's just start going down. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, you try or let me try and lie to the FBI. Let's see where that gets us. And these were people in position of power high up in the agency. They lie to the FBI. Nothing has happened. Then you look at people like, Steve Bannon, or you look at people like Roger Stone, who are subpoenaed by the congressional inquiry. They refuse to attend, and then they're prosecuted for a violation of Congress. Yet Eric Holder, the attorney general under Fast and Furious, does the exact same thing. Subpoenaed by Congress, doesn't show, they wash their hands and move on. I think that unless we start to apply the law equally, we've got a problem. And I'll tell you what, the FBI and the Department of Justice, they have a real credibility issue. And people have got to wake up. Last example I would give, try and be somebody that gets a DUI with drugs in your body, you wreck somebody's car, you total it, and then they don't take your blood for 2 hours and 15 minutes like the California Highway Patrol did under Paul Pelosi. And it's there again. No video was released. If you got in a car accident, if you were under DUI, after 3 days, the video would be released. This is where I believe Rubin has completely missed the ball.
Text coming in from listener. Amen. Exactly. With a bunch of exclamation points. And let me second that. What an excellent breakdown and recitation, Terry, of the double standard. I have nothing more than I can add to that. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you so much.
303-696-1971 on the ball there. And the texter also saying, we do, with several O's, have a problem. Thank you, Terry, again, for the call. We're going to take a quick break on the other side. We'll get to one more call. Ben in Morrison, stay on the line. Then we'll get through some of these listener texts. What a morning it has been. We'll pick up the conversation on the other side. Here on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. Ah, the Allman Brothers, best band in history. Probably the most controversial thing said on this show today. But it's true. I'm Jimmy Sengenberger. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. And you know, Randy and I were just talking about this off air. In my view, unless there is something like that I don't expect that would be like a genuine national security thing that they latched onto, and I don't see how that's likely. I'm not saying that's likely, but I'm saying that unless they reach that detrimental to the national security standard, this helps Donald Trump. And that is the great irony of the left going after him like this. And of the Department of Justice doing this is that it very likely helps Trump and encourages him to run for a second term.
Great irony indeed. Few texts that have been, actually, we got a whole slew of texts that were coming in as Ruben Navarrete and I were hashing it out on the Trump raid. Your guest implied that the Justice Department has gone after Democrats. When in recent history has that happened? That's a good point. I guess he's just would refer to the Hillary thing with James Comey in the beginning. And yeah, I don't think that that would be sufficient proof. I think you're raising a very valid point here. What? Another text coming in. What's scary is this guy here, that's Ruben, hasn't said anything about Biden having his thumb on the nuclear codes. That is not a bad point whatsoever. Hi, Jimmy. This guy is just throwing out unbacked up statements like Trump thinks the rules don't apply to him, and you're doing a great job pushing back. I appreciate that. Real quick here, he's been waiting patiently. Let's go to Ben in Morrison. Good morning, Ben.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, Jimmy?
Doing well. What's up?
Well, it seems like Trump had every opportunity to turn over anything that was classified because the FBI and these people have already negotiated something, you know, several months ago.
Yeah, 15 boxes in June.
15 boxes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why does he still have this stuff? Like, why did he hang on to that? If it's classified or not classified, if he did classify it, there should be documentation on that, should there not?
I would think so. And I would think that the GSA, the Government Service Agency, or whatever it is, would be well aware of what's classified, what is in accordance with what Kesh Patel had said.
Yeah, but you know what? Right now, I'm more inclined to believe with the FBI and the government agents than I am Donald Trump, because he's a blatant liar.
So
when he says, like, I declassified this stuff, I'm like, well, then that should be pretty easy to prove.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll find that out pretty soon.
Yes. And that would be something that would be very clear cut, I would think, on what's classified, what's not. But also, even if it is classified, isn't there something to be said for the fact that this is an unprecedented action going after a former president when there are classified documents in the hands of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton?
Well,
and they haven't gone after them?
Hillary Clinton wasn't president, first of all. And
even
Barack
she
Obama,
was Secretary of State.
But she wasn't president. And so let's go over Barack Obama. Barack Obama had 30 million documents that were sent over to a federal facility, which is compliant with the law.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
My understanding is that what Donald Trump
sent over to the presidential library.
My understanding, Ben, I'm up against time, so I'm putting it on hold. My understanding is that what Donald Trump did was follow steps such as the safe that they went into that were laid forth for what to do with important documents. And that's what he followed. And that's not irrelevant. In fact, that is significant. That is it for us today. I do appreciate the call, Ben. Thank you. That's it for me. Randy's up next. I'm sure he's just chomping at the bit to get into this topic as well. I'm Jimmy Sengenberger. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next Saturday morning. Danny Moore will be among our guests, Lieutenant Governor candidate. God bless America. Have a great rest of weekend.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.